Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal CB Booker, George Biker Boy Homan, Roger Hawkins, special guest and friend of the show, Mimi Acosta. Coming live and direct via YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the Boys.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome. I'm CB, your host, Jess, with the boys. I've got my boys in the building. The George Parker Boy Homan, Roger Hawkins, and Mimi Acosta, unfortunately, is not with us tonight. But we send our prayers and our love to our sister. Her mother is ill. And we just want to take just a moment to pause for me, because we know that she's going through a lot right now. So we just wanted to know that we love her and we're here for her. All right. take a quick pause for the cause, sending healing vibes Mimi's way. So, everyone, how are you guys tonight? Are you having a good week?
Good.
Brother, I must do.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Been a decent one.
All right, some ups, some downs. Got family in town, so I know y'all know I'm going to be overrun all weekend because we play the Raiders, we being the Chiefs, and it's going to be rough, kids. It's going to be rough because all I need y'all to know is the boys are playing kind of bad right now. They're playing like, you know, Girl Scout Troop 11. And sadly, the Raiders are actually playing pretty decent, even though they're losing players a mile a minute from getting cut, but all that to say, it's going to be a kind of a KC takeover here in Vegas, starting really about today. A lot of people are coming in tomorrow for sure. Picked up my aunt earlier, so I'm going to have to be babysitting my my old aunts, who are going to act a whole fool. It ought to be fun. They crack me up. They're cute. Anyway, so everything is going cool. It'll be cool to see some people, you know, finally come kind of check your boy out here as opposed to me going home. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted with what goes on with that, you know, some of the parties and some of the remotes, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what's going on for me for the week. What's happening with you guys? Everybody, CB got a new ride. So like I said, she's off of her middle of the month. She had two cycles this month because the normal 28-day one wasn't good enough. The shit she went through to get it was stressing her. And she was going crazy and trying to take us with her, but we weren't doing that shit. So I was going to drink for her. Anyway, congratulations. Our lady got herself a new little swerve going on. So life is good over there, right? Right? Black Beauty and shit, you know?
I named it Black Panther, but yeah, it's good.
She's loving the new whip.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's great. That's beautiful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
No doubt. I'm kind of allergic to car notes. I hate them. I only deal with that if it involves having to have a family vehicle. I hate car notes. But, you know, I like seeing people riding the new shiny, flossy, crispy cruisers. So do your thing. That's what's happening.
Does everyone have a drink tonight?
What time is it? See, it's 8 o'clock. Look. You know what's weird? What's weird is all three of us are kind of empty, and normally, George, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. Normally, we are ready to go, but again, I just told you guys I picked up my aunt from the airport. This happens to be the aunt who's always been, you know, wild as a bed bug, so we kind of went to visit relatives. So I've actually, I got about a four-hour head start on you guys, so I'll probably pick back up maybe the second half of the show.
Well, I want to just make a toast to Mimi.
Absolutely. We got you. We're going to do that. Mimi, we got you, girl. For sure. Big ups to Mimi. I don't have anything, but I will next half. For those that don't know, Mimi's mom is infirmed at the moment. She's definitely on the struggle, but, you know, we know she's there helping take care, and so we appreciate it. We appreciate all the love and thoughts and things like that for our sister who can't be with us tonight. Mm-hmm. So, Mimi, we love you. We're thinking about you, girl. You know, we're going to do our thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you guys think? I mean, I know we're gonna hear from our guy. Are we gonna hear from our guys later on, George? Because I'm just curious what you guys think about this upcoming weekend. It's kind of a big one, even though we're 5-4. You know, how are you guys feeling about it?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because I wrote a little something on Facebook about that because I don't understand why we are playing the way we are. But this is what I said. I said, I'm speaking to all my Chiefs kingdom. Yes, we won Sunday and it's a win. So yeah, I'll take it. However, I love my team, but I can't help but notice that their energy is off. No one is playing at their best, and it's so obvious. It's not fun to watch them not enjoy the game. Lately, they act like strangers on the field instead of comrades and teammates. The teamwork that once was is not. It's so noticeable that I can't even blame just the defense anymore because I see it in the whole vibe of the team. Something is off between them. As a diehard fan who loves this team, it is heartbreaking to see our guys like this. It's like they've lost their zest for the game. We've got to get back to a winning state of mind, body, and spirit. But the most important of all is unity and trust. Yes, trust that each and every player on this phenomenal team is going to do their part to ensure this team stays great. Some things have got to change. Perhaps they could form some new plays and switch it up a bit. If they don't do something, we will not see another Super Bowl anytime soon. They've got to trust each other. There is no I in team. We are Chiefs Kingdom, not Chiefs Village. They must remember that united we are a powerful force, but divided we are just a drizzle. Let the kingdom once again rise up and conquer. Let's go, Chiefs. That's my take on that.
Mr. Holman, I don't want to be that poetic, so I'm not going to go poetical. What do you think, G? What do you think? I mean, that was pretty Shakespeare,
you know,
lady.
You know, I seen that post, and I was, like, scrolling for days to read it all. And, But she hit on some key points, you know, talking about how they not playing together like they have in the past. Well, the fact is that's true. And they are playing like they're completely new people. And technically it's because they are. The entire front line is brand new. None of those guys have played together before the first game of this year. So those are the struggles that we're going through. Individually, they're all good players. They're all really good players. But collectively, that's what they've got to learn, and they're going through that learning phase right now. It's almost like rebuilding a whole new team. You know, when you got that team that's always on that losing trend, and they go through the draft and rebuild the team and start all over again. You know, it's almost the same thing.
What was the point of training camp if they're just now learning how to play together? That doesn't make any sense. If that's the case, then they stayed up in St. Joe too long because it didn't do anything. So I don't believe that, because we creamed everyone in preseason. Not, and I know people say it doesn't count, but a win is a win, whether it's preseason or offseason or whatever. It's still a win. And we proved that we could, you know, that we still had what it takes to be great. And now that we're within the season, we're not. And there's no excuse for that. Yeah, they're playing with new people. So what? You know, that's how it is. In high school, you play with new people because, you know, you never know who's going to make the varsity team. You could have a bunch of freshmen on your varsity team. You don't know. So when you say that because they're playing with a whole new line, so what? They had time to practice with these people. We had preseason games to practice with these people. They've been up in St. Joe doing spring training or whatever their training thing is. So they've had ample time to play together and to learn how to, you know, navigate and move together as a team, as a unit. So to say that just because it's new people, I call BS on that, because that's no excuse. That's no excuse.
I'm not saying that that is the entire excuse. They have some bad things, but that's a big impact on it. And one preseason training camp doesn't create a unity, you know, the type of unity that we're talking about. It usually takes a couple of years. And the people that we had on that line, even though the line wasn't the greatest, but they played together with a unity from playing together over a period of time. So with that little piece of it, on top of the fact that they're making some ill-fated mistakes and things are happening that shouldn't be happening regardless of the situation, it just makes it even more impactful. That's all I'm saying. And any football enthusiast is going to tell you that. When you got new players, predominantly new team players playing together, they're not going to jive like that in the first season. It's literally unheard of. It's different if you just replace one or two people, you know. But when you replace everybody, that's a whole different ball game, you know. And like I said, and you're right. Hold on, you're right in the fact that that's not the whole excuse for the situation. No, it's not, and you can't blame it on that. But that is a huge impact on top of the other stuff. So when you have that plus mistakes and miscommunications and things like that happening, then it magnifies the result. And what we're witnessing is the magnification of that result.
Well, I still disagree. And second, I feel like, one, they should have known coming into the season that all these teams are going to be gunning for them. We were Super Bowl champions. And people are still favoriting the Chiefs to win. Well, at least they were. But going into this season, there were high expectations, high hopes for this team. And I feel that they're playing the same playbook as they've played all along, and they need to switch some stuff up. They need to call some plays that other teams have not seen, something that they're not expecting, because they're gunning for Mahomes. They want to hurt him. We don't have a good enough defense to protect him. We don't have a good enough offense to protect him. So it's like, you know, it's frustrating to watch the game because you know that they're not playing to the best of their ability. Whether these new people or not, they're not playing to the best of their ability. So screw if they are playing with someone new. It's like, you know, starting work and there's new employees coming in every day and a job that keeps hiring and hiring and hiring. You have to get used to working with that new person. So for them to say, oh, it's such an impact, we've never played before. So what? When the dream team was picked for the Olympics, some of those players had never played together, but they bonded as a team and did what they came to do. period. So I don't think that you can use that, or that they should be able to use that as an excuse. Oh, we've never played before. And, you know, they're new employees. Get used to it. Get out there and do what you came to do. We pay these people obscene amounts of money to get on the field and work every Sunday. I don't think that's too much to ask. Like, period. I cheer this team, win or lose, I cheer them. But when they are doing some dumb, stupid shit, I'm going to scold them and say, you know, this is not cool. And something's got to be done. You know, Andy was even mad. Mahomes was mad. Kelsey was angry. You could tell Tyreek wasn't happy about any of this. So it's just, it makes no sense that we're going through this. We were a champion team, and now we're shit at this moment. And I'm not happy with that. I'm not cool with that. Because we have what it takes to be champions again. But for whatever reason, the chemistry is not there. Whether it be, you know, because they are dealing with new players or not, don't know, don't care. They need to get their shit together, period.
I think it's funny because I have some areas where I definitely agree with both of you guys. As far as needing to get their shit together, yeah, I think that's pretty evident. The actual level of play is not as high as it has been, but as someone who has played, you know, at a pretty high level, it does make a difference. Your chemistry with your teammates makes a difference. We can be in the X's and O's and all that shit, and for the football players out there, they'll get that. I know some people are going to be pissed because what George said is it's very, very true that you need to have, you know, the chemistry with the O-line and things like that. I mean, that's so important, it's not even funny. But at the same time, yes, Crystal, you're right. They get paid to do a job. Like I tell people all the time, everybody laughs because Detroit tends to be the worst team in the league every year. But guess what? There's still 22, technically, offense and defense professionals out there that are light years better than a lot of people on the planet. Yet, in the NFL, they get blasted all the time. So I also agree with you in that with play calling. Andy Reid is notorious for being, you know, he calls nice trick plays and fun stuff, things like that. I think people have gotten kind of they've gotten a hold of kind of how we operate by shutting down Kelsey and Hill, you know, double teaming and things like that. They have forced our second, our tertiary and quaternary receivers to step up, and they can't step up. So there are a lot of different reasons why we're not at the level we should be. I mean, just to say, hey, we went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so? Yeah, for the most part, a lot of same people, but there's some different people in there as well. And when you're pulling out the elements that normally make an impact, it makes a difference. Mahomes, admittedly, is not playing that great. A lot of people are blaming the wife and the baby and the contract. And as much as we don't want to say anything about it, I mean, he's playing pretty crappy right now, admittedly. The circus tricks he's been doing, people are waiting and expecting that. So because you're expecting it, people are stepping back and going, okay, you know what? I know he's going to roll out and he's going to throw up. So I said, why do you think he's thrown so many picks and all, near misses and things like that? So there are just a lot of factors, not just one, not just two, but I think everything we've talked about combined has made them really mortal. It's almost like, hey, Superman has become Clark Kent again. So I definitely think, and in their defense, I know, you know, we're not trying to get too technical, but, yeah, training camp, preseason, none of that shit matters. When it's time to go for the regular season, you're playing rookies and draft picks and trying to see who's going to make the team. That's not even the real squad playing. So the people that played in that preseason game aren't even on the field right now. So does it matter? Not really. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It shouldn't matter, but it does in the sense that you're not even seeing the same people. You didn't see Tyreek and Kelsey and all those guys playing preseason. They're not going to get hit. You know, they're not going to get hurt early and all that. Nevertheless, All that to say, I agree. Hey, they get paid obscene amounts of money. You got to get out there and step it up. But everyone, it's an everybody effort, and I know there's frustration. And there's been some speculation with the whole, you know, like why Mahomes didn't hit Kelce wide open last week and what the hell was he thinking and is he overthinking and things like that. And I can't imagine the pressure this guy has on him. But, again, you're the half-billion-dollar man. I don't give a shit what kind of pressure you need. I mean, look, if somebody had a gun to his head and a rocket up his ass, he needs to make certain decisions, brother. We $500 million? You need to be out there sweeping the lawn and doing all kind of stuff. That being said, hopefully, you know, second half of the season they do get it together because as much as I hate to admit it, the Raiders are not playing badly. Now, they're losing players a mile a minute, but they're not playing badly. So that being said, this week, I don't know, because we've had some ugly losses. We've had some uglier wins. And this week is going to be – it's going to be a really rough weekend with this much red coming to Vegas if those guys put up an ugly performance. So all that to say, gentlemen, please, please try and get your shit together and get on the same page. I think we need that for sure.
All right, George, roll the 90 seconds and sports in 90 seconds or less.
All right, here we go for my boys at Barbecue and Sports Review.
I'm Jason Weaver.
And I'm Kelce Moore.
And we're from Barbecue and Sports Podcast, bringing you sports in 90 seconds or less.
It was a crazy weekend in the NFL this week with lots of upsets. The 5-win Buffalo Bills were upset by the 2-win Jacksonville Jaguars. The New York Giants got an upset win against the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Denver Broncos got a big upset win against the Dallas Cowboys. The Tennessee Titans propelled themselves to the number one seed in the AFC with a big win over the Los Angeles Rams, and the Arizona Cardinals sit atop the NFC as they were led by their backup quarterback Colt McCoy in the victory over their San Francisco 49ers. As it stands, the division leaders in the NFL are the Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Arizona Cardinals, the Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
In baseball, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Shohei Ohtani, and Marcus Semien are the finalists for the AL MVP, while Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Fernando Tatis Jr. are the NL MVP finalists. The winner will be announced November 18th. In the NBA, the Warriors are 9-1, leading the Western Conference by 2 games, followed up by the Jazz and Mavericks. A much tighter race in the Eastern Conference with the Heat, Bulls, and Wizards trailing the 8-3 76ers by a half game. College basketball kicked off last night. Gonzaga, early favorites to win the championship, beat Dixie State.
As always, don't stop smoking the meat.
The meat.
Yep.
All right.
The meat.
It's so hard to believe
the
that
meat.
The Arizona Cardinals are in the top. Like, what universe is this? What parallel universe is this? That, like, what? What the hell?
Well, in their defense, they've got an old Missouri quarterback in Colt McCoy. He bounced around the league for a little bit. I know some of you guys don't know that. I think he was with the Browns for a while, I believe, and I can't say I follow his career, but. You know, he's a former MU boy, so the fact that he settled in and got a W, you know, big ups to Colt McCoy. So, again, never cared one way or the other about Arizona other than I did like Fitzgerald. But you know what? There's one more tie to the home state. So, you know, go ahead, big Colt, do your thing. Good for those guys, but it is kind of weird.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of distraction in the Raiders locker room. I mean, let's just talk about it. Obviously, Henry Ruggs III is probably going to go to prison for killing the young lady. It was pretty sad. It just happened this week. This guy, you know, it's becoming all too typical. 22-year-old millionaire makes a stupid mistake that's life-altering. So a lot of us have said, look, being in the NFL or any pro league or anything like that, it's like having a winning lottery ticket. But when you do something stupid, it's like taking that lottery ticket and going, all right, So this kid literally got blazingly drunk. I mean, he was double the legal limit, et cetera, et cetera. And I know you guys aren't familiar with Vegas like that, but he was racing down a street called Rainbow. Now, for those that live here, everybody knows. It's like Rainbow. Rainbow's like, okay, pick any street, any town you live in, whether it be in any town you live in has a Grand or a Main or an MLK or whatever. It's a long street, but it's busy, it's occupied, it's not freeway, it's not speed friendly. So Rainbow is long, but that's it, but it has stoplights, et cetera. My dude literally was doing 156 miles an hour. And, like, I saw the video. My daughter showed me the video. It was mind-numbing. Like, to see a normal car go through the traffic light, and his shit was like, not even being funny. He was like a UFO, like the DeLorean in Back to the Future, how fast he was going. But the sad part is, you know, video has resurfaced, things like that. You see people telling their story. People were trying to help the young lady when he impacted her. Someone had fire extinguishers. Someone tried to cut her out. The fire started relatively small, and it got out of control quickly. They couldn't get the door out. I mean, it was horrific. Literally, they had to watch her burn to death because no one could free her. And unfortunately, this young man and his girlfriend chose to sit in the middle of the street, hug each other, cry, swear a little bit, and do nothing. So it's going to look really bad for him in court. Do I think he did it intent? No, but foolishness and your judgment leads to things like this. So that's a huge distraction. Then they had to basically fire another young man because, like a lot of young people, I hope you're listening to me, doing this stupid shit. Young people put everything online, everything. Nothing's secret. Nothing is sacred. So he was flashing guns and talking shit and doing all of that. Whether he was threatening anybody or not, he was. He was doing those activities. So, of course, they got hold of the video, and now the Raiders are short another defensive back. So there's quite a bit of distraction going on. Doesn't mean they're not going to do well. I'm just saying they've got more than enough to think about. But in terms of what happens to this young man, what do you guys think is a fair punishment? Now, mind you, some things like this have happened in the past. I'm not going to say much more than that, but we know similar things have happened in the past with other celebrities or athletes. Some have gotten a slap on the wrist and nothing's happened, and some have gotten slightly harsher punishments. When it comes to money, prestige, and celebrity, is there a different set of rules, and what do you think should happen in this case?
Well, I can't tell you what I think should happen in this case, but there is clearly a different set of rules because they're in the public eye and they have to be set, they basically have to set example. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys get, for lack of better words, idolized by our younger generation because of what they do, you know. And if they're watching it and they say, well, it's okay for him to go kill somebody, it's okay for me too, you know. So there's definitely a different set of rules. Now, what should happen to him? I'm not a judge or jury. I don't know enough details. I don't know how it all plays out. So I really can't make a call in that aspect.
But think about it. You're doing almost 160 miles an hour. You're completely blasted, inebriated. And, I mean, look, again, there are stories and things like that he was belligerent in the hospital. And he's kind of making a spectacle of himself. Does that matter? No, it does not, because people do it all the time. It just makes me wonder, because at the same time, I'm going to throw this kind of curveball at you guys. At the same time, two other trials are going on right now. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial, of course, the young man who came from Illinois to Wisconsin to protect businesses and things like that. And now they're, you know, his defense and things like that are trying to portray him in a particular light as being a public servant or some shit like that, where, like I said, I don't recall them handing out capes and taking auditions for new superheroes, but, you know, he's going to take his, he's been trying to, you know, take his defense to a different level and whatnot. With these two things happening so close together, as well as the trial of the gentleman who killed Ahmaud Arbery. I'm not going to call it the Ahmaud Arbery trial because it's not his trial. He's dead. So, you know, we should learn the names of the people that did it. It's not his trial. You know, I don't like how sometimes they like to label something derogatorily and put it on the name of the victim because he was the victim. But anyway, all of this is coming, it's kind of like a culmination of 2 years worth of just bedlam, mayhem, you know, in the country. So do you feel like that's going to influence the you know, the judge or the jury or whomever to be harsher or more lenient for this guy? Because in my opinion, they will correlate. There will be, you know, it will have an effect. You know, here you've got a young white kid. He's a man now. He's 18, so he's not a kid. But you've got this young white man on trial for shooting three people, killing, you know, in my opinion, unjustifiably. And then you've got another trial where there are three white men who mercilessly tracked down, hunted a young man who was just jogging and peeking around, didn't do anything wrong. And then you've got a case where some knucklehead kid was drunk, speeding, and did kill someone. I'm not saying that he's not responsible. I'm not saying that something shouldn't occur. But how do you feel each one of those is going to make the other play out?
I don't know. It can go either way. So it's really hard to make a call on that. And I know, you know, how I'd like to see things play out, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will. Because with the disarray that our country is in right now, and racism is at an all-time high, I don't know. Because what I'm seeing so far on the Ahmaud Arbery, or, well, on the trial of the killers of Ahmaud Arbery, it doesn't seem like, definitely they have no remorse. And one of the fathers of one of the killers said that he would have killed Arbery too. So that's pretty much where things are. So if people don't have any empathy for what happened, and they don't care, and if the judge is of the same mindset, we pretty much know how it's going to play out.
I don't want to believe that, you know, obviously each one will be impacted by the other, because technically they're not supposed to watch or, you know, whatever, but I think we all can agree that that's not always the case, you know. So I just feel like you said, you know, with the state of things in the country, everything is tense in a lot of ways, whether that be, you know, just from a political standpoint or just from the fact that people are more fed up about a lot of things. I think that fairness is not that hard, that much to ask for, but apparently it is. So, you know, I want to believe that they're going to try their best to steer it away from, you know, people, you know, creating more havoc and shit like that. Do I think it'll happen? Maybe not. I do feel like with that comment that, you know, one of the gentlemen made that made the judge actually recess court, it just really, really shows how one-sided, you know, things are. And knowing that, people just have to keep pushing. So, again, I give a lot of credit to, you know, there's so many people out there that are fighting for that. Like I said, I tend to follow Sean King, and there's some other people, 19 Keys, a lot of people that are out there really pushing. And again, I don't know everybody, so forgive me if I don't mention you. There are a lot of people out there on their platforms and stuff trying to bring awareness to what's going on in this country and other places. But I honestly think that like you said, it could go either way. I think it can make it really, really rough on this kid being Ruggs. I don't know what his history is. Don't know what his criminal record is or is not, if he has one or if he doesn't. I think, yeah, like I said, he did a typical stupid young person with money thing, but that's not probably going to help him or save him, especially if the trials of these other two situations, I say, don't go in their favor. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I think it's going to not bode well for him. You know, and what's weird is we kind of joke about the fact that the Raiders used to be the team, no matter what you did, you could go to the Raiders or the Cowboys. They took on all felons and lawbreakers and shit like that. We laughed about that for a lot of years, but they, at the moment, seem to be really kind of walking away from that and separating. I mean, the Raiders in particular. Think about it. You know, Gruden's situation, they separated. Ruggs' situation, they separated. And now, again, like I said, they have a young DB that got, you know, and it could have been an old post with the guns and shit like that, but they are trying to, I feel like, distance themselves from their tarnished reputation of being the team that will welcome, you know, lawbreakers, felons, you know, criminals, you know, all kind of, you know, irreputable people and players. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how it plays out, especially with the fact that, you know, believe it or not, even some of his quote-unquote own people are, like, pissed at people like Rodgers. And they're really cracking down. They're just, people are just mad about everything, I feel like, you know, and they're looking for someone, they're looking for a sacrificial lamb. So, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting next week or so with all of these trials, you know.
Well, there's some other things that also happened over the weekend. Astroworld, as you guys know, is canceled now. And if you guys don't know what Astroworld is, it is a festival that they would have every year, and this was the first one since the pandemic, which did not go well. Travis Scott was performing, and 8 people ended up dead. It was a slow squeeze, basically. And if you guys aren't familiar with Travis Scott's performing method of operations, he likes his crowd to rage. He calls it rage. And when you rage, you basically are rushing the stage, knocking down barricades, rushing the stage, raging to the stage. Well, that backfired because 8 people ended up dead. And he did not stop the show. And from where he was standing on stage, there's no way that he couldn't see what was going on. He just didn't care. And his girlfriend / baby mama, Kylie Jenner, was also on Instagram filming. She was on live. And literally on her camera in front of her, you could see a dead body. Someone was lifting this guy who was basically dead, and it was pretty obvious that he was, and it was later confirmed that he was. And it just amazes me, just the disconnect of these people with regular people. It just, it pisses me off. Like, how can you stand there, continue to perform, and people are literally dying? And some news footage, it showed some of the concert goers climbing onto where the cameras were and trying to tell the cameraman, there's somebody dead. There's somebody dead. Stop the show. People are dying. And the cameraman just kept shooting. It's like he was shooing them away. So one can say maybe he didn't hear them and he thought they were just, you know, fans. But it was more serious than that. People actually lost their lives. And you haven't seen anything like that since the 60s when that happened with, not the 60s, but the 70s. Actually, yeah, I think it was in the 60s with the Who concert. I think it was either 60s or 70s with the Who concert in Cincinnati. And 11 people were crushed to death. And it's like they were trampled to death. And that was before the concert even started. So it's a mess what's going on. It's a mess. And our hearts definitely go out to those who lost their lives. Condolences to their families on their loss, because, you know, you drop your kid off at a concert, or, you know, or you're at the concert with your kid and you literally are watching people get killed. You know, that's got to be devastating as a parent, but it's also got to be devastating as an onlooker who was there at the concert watching this happen. I mean, what's you guys' take on that? Because for him to keep going on the, with the show and people are dying, I mean, there's no justification on that. Now, he has since offered to pay for the funerals of the those that are deceased. But so that's pretty much it.
Well, what's crazy is, and again, there's going to be speculation all over the place, but when you look at the fact that he's known for wanting that, you know, it's been shown time and time again. He loves the whole air quotes rage thing. He posts about it. He requests it. He demands it. It's kind of a God complex, which obviously a lot of artists that perform get, because think about it, you're literally controlling the emotions of thousands of people. That being said, yeah, you know, not very wise when it comes to people. And again, my understanding, and again, I've spoken with, you know, different people, my kids kept up with it. A lot of people read the news and things like that. I've heard different things and I've read a few things, you know. Some say that artists previous to, that went on before him told him and warned him. They also spoke to the crowd, which means nothing. I've worked security, so that doesn't mean anything. Obviously, they were at capacity before anything even started. And then as far as the ones breaking through the barricades and whatnot, well, that puts you over. And the minute you break fire code and things like that, you're automatically, you know, heading for trouble. So, you know, look at 50,000 plus, and that's a recipe for disaster. They didn't have enough security, enough medical personnel. It's bound to happen, unfortunately, because think about anything. A sea of people is like a sea of anything, water. If it's going one way, you have to go. For anybody that went down under that, you didn't stand a chance. You know, you can't stand up if three people stand on top of you. Imagine 3,000. So I feel terrible for anybody that got caught up in that, because you're helpless. There's absolutely nothing to do. So offering to pay for it, yeah, that's okay. It's a gesture, but it's unnecessary. It shouldn't have happened. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to put this out there, but it really pisses me off that the Kardashians still find a way to somehow spin the damn spotlight to them. Because I actually read in the newspaper the next day, they were like, hey, tragedy at Astroworld, but pregnant Kylie Jenner's okay. You know, she's fine. She was in a booth, a box. Of course she's fine. Like, I was thinking to myself, I couldn't give less than a shit if she and her kid are okay. And I know people are going to be like, that's mean. No, it's not. Because this isn't about them. Now, if someone would have been like, hey, someone shot up into the box, that's one thing. But people are on the ground getting trampled to death. And also being drugged, from my understanding, is somebody was pricking people and they were passing out and dropping, and that led to a lot of the bedlam, too. My guess is fentanyl, but then again, what do I know? But I'm going to assume that was probably the culprit that was causing a lot of people to kind of go into cardiac arrest, et cetera. But it's just amazing how some people take any opportunity to bring attention to themselves. I'm going to pose or take a picture or do whatever, even though people are dying. So I think there should be a lot of people held responsible, obviously starting with him. But this is a shame, and this just shows why so often people don't want to involve themselves with young artists, rap artists, and people that do this kind of thing. Because if you look at it from an insurance standpoint, from a tragedy standpoint, from any kind of it almost never ends well. But when you have the artist who is technically kind of the responsible party egging that kind of behavior on, this is what happens. So, yeah, unfortunately, I do think he should be held responsible. because he could have done something about it. His voice had power. His words would have carried. He could have stopped the show, and he didn't. So to me, right there, your responsibility, you know, your responsibility, you failed at your job. But I think this is probably going to have a little a farther reaching fallout because you had, you know, 14-year-old victims and things like that. And again, just to add to that, who in the hell would let their 14-year-old go to something like this? But that's just me. You know, that he wasn't there. He was up front. What the hell are you people thinking? But, yeah, I guess. I digress. I don't get it.
Well, in answer, it's ironic that you spoke about the pricking of the needles and stuff. According to Alexandra Bush of News Nation, the Houston Police Chief Troy Finner on Wednesday refuted a story that somebody pricked a security guard's neck, possibly injecting him with drugs during the chaos at the deadly Travis Scott concert. On Saturday, Finner said first responders treated the security guard with the opioid antidote Narcan after he lost consciousness. Well, he said, we did locate the security guard, Finner said, during a news conference Wednesday. His story is not consistent with that. He says he was struck in his head. He went unconscious. He woke up in the security tent. He says that no one injected drugs into him. Finner also said the investigation into the surge that left 8 dead and hundreds injured during the performance will take weeks, possibly months, to uncover. Determining an accurate timeline of events is a major focus of the investigation. We're not going to leave any stones unturned, Finner said. Finner offered few new details, but said merchandise tents contributed to fans rushing, and one of Live Nation's roles was to secure a mosh pit. He also said organizers of the festival have not provided investigators with clear records about private security personnel working the ground. The chief also forcefully defended his department's ability to handle the criminal investigation on its own, rejected calls for an outside probe, and said he did not have a close relationship with the megastar rapper who is from Houston and founded the sold-out festival that drew 50,000 fans. At least 2 concertgoers remained in critical condition Wednesday. So, shout out to
I did read that another young lady, you know, basically suffered two heart attacks back-to-back and was declared brain dead. So, and again, talked to my kid earlier, and she read something. So at the moment, I don't know what the final kind of death count is, but I guess my question is, okay, so the officer said he wasn't pricked. What the hell does that matter if other people and medical personnel said that they were noticing people were? So we're gonna I mean, you know what I mean? If he wasn't good, good for him, because clearly that could have been it. But does that discredit the fact that other people said they did feel like they were being pricked and that they did feel, you know, something happened? Or are we just going to believe this one individual? I mean, I guess it's kind of a numbers game, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I see lawsuits in the future for sure.
Well, on the lighter
note. Now, would you guys, would any of you ever do that? I mean, we all have older children, but I'm just thinking, like, when my kids were younger, would I have taken them to something like that? Because we were kind of laughing today. My middle child, oldest daughter, we were kind of joking about how I'm like, see, this is why older people don't do rap concerts and all that kind of goofy shit. And they were like, oh, I remember we were younger and we went to Minus Behavior, and she named off all these like teeny bopper groups, Minus Behavior, and I forgot the name of the girls group and all that. And it was kind of funny because this was like 7-8 years ago, and I thought to myself, you don't hear that very often. Even when they do the reunion groups with the B2Ks and the things like that, you don't encounter that. So I go, well, you know, I know that there are people that take their children to, say, you know, Beyonce or Mariah Carey or even something like back then it would have been, you know, Mindless Behavior, and I don't know who else has come along, boy bands kind of a thing. But if one of your kids, say, was 14, 15, 16, was like, hey, you know, dad to George or mom to you, Crystal, would you have been comfortable taking them to a rap concert or a festival, especially knowing, because if you tell me you wouldn't have done your research, then I'm going to call you a new fool anyway, who wouldn't do their research to what their kids are watching and are listening to. But would you have been comfortable saying, okay, we can go if I go, or just been like, no, you're not going to go to that? I'm just trying to ask. And again, I'm not blaming this little boy for being there and unfortunately dying, but I'm just asking like how that kind of thing happens. You know what I mean?
I feel like knowing that he is known for having crowds rush the stage and knowing what that means, what that could mean, and that's essentially what happened, I would say no. I would not allow my 14-year-old to go to a concert, one, without me, but two, to a concert where they could, you know, end up hurt or worse. So that would be a no for me. And like the artist that you named in the back previously, when you talked about Beyonce, you've never heard of anybody rushing her stage. They keep everything under control, you know. And Mariah Carey, the same, you know. It couldn't happen. Some of the boy bands, even at a BTS concert, which BTS is the biggest boy band in the world, and it's never happened with that. Everyone's respectful. Everyone, you know, everyone stays in their lane. They do. They enjoy the show. They enjoy the music. But nobody rushes the stage or anything. In fact, Jungkook, one of the members of BTS, he jumped off the stage to help a girl that was in a wheelchair. You know, and they didn't mob him or try to hurt him or anything like that. So it just depends on what type of concert you're going to and what type of artist you're going to see. And if you're going to go see an artist that talks about, you know, money and bitches and stuff, then you pretty much know what to expect.
I mean, agree, but I don't even with material being considered. Like I said, you still don't. It really just depends because, again, one of the people that we love to talk about and joke about, Too Short, whose favorite word, who made the word bitch a whole nother language by itself, you still don't hear about that kind of thing happening. You know, think back to the 80s and 90s, guys. Think about how violent concerts used to be, and that has a lot to do with personnel, lack of security, and things like that. It doesn't happen anywhere. It happens a lot of places. And, again, obviously, me being of the rap generation, I'm definitely an advocate. I'm not going to shit on rap. I love it. But, again, I'm older, so I don't follow any of that hip-hop and things the way, obviously, I did back then. I guess my thing is, why wouldn't someone step in and put the kibosh on this guy making those kind of announcements, condoning that behavior, actually pushing for, you know, that type of stuff to happen? So I think it's like anything. I think that there's blame that can be issued on far more than one part, but I also think he's, you know, he's going to get the brunt of it because he's the artist. He's pushing for it, you know what I mean? And he's the big name. It happens like that all the time.
Well, speaking of one that I also enjoy the rap genre, Tupac is my favorite rapper of all time. So when we would see concerts in Kansas City at Verizon, when it was Verizon Wireless, when we would see concerts at Worlds of Fun, when they had concerts there, Camper Arena, mm-hmm. We saw rappers. Houdini performed at Camper Arena. We had even Tupac came to Kansas City. So the thing is this, we didn't act like that, seriously. And those rappers didn't advocate for violence and rushing the stage and raging against the system, even at a Public Enemy. Public Enemy came to Worlds of Fun. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, they performed, I don't think it was Camper, but it was something, another place. But anyway.
yeah, it was Camp Arena.
Was it at Camper? I couldn't remember.
Yep.
But, I mean, even with that and how they were controversial back then, at least they were considered to be, and NWA as well, none of us rushed the stage. We enjoyed the concert. We enjoyed the atmosphere.
We also, but the thing is, we didn't rush the stage, but there was also a lot of, you know, a lot of rap concerts quit coming to KC because of how much death occurred afterwards. Now, that's a little bit of a different story because, like
right.
I said, we were our own worst enemy in the 90s. But you're right, in terms of rushing the stage and things like that, I just definitely think that that's an issue with, here's the thing, and you can't even blame security and whatnot and things like this. Like I tell people all the time, having been on that side of the fence, you can have 30 of your best guys. Guess what? 30 people can't do jack shit with 300, let alone 3,000, let alone 30,000. So when people go, where were the police? Where was security? You would literally have to have the military out there. And the only way they could stop that would be with lethal force. I don't think people understand the sheer science of how bodies and force operate when they move in one unified, you know, direction. And so that's why I think it hurts so much to go, man, the people that went down didn't stand a chance. But I think that's organization. I think that's it starts at the top. Stop it. And again, my understanding is they were at capacity, and this guy was like, he told security, let him in, because he wanted to see that kind of stuff, that kind of hell break loose. So, again, it's just another case of bad choices, bad decisions made by an individual that's going to cost them. And the whole paying for the funeral thing, first of all, I think is bullshit. I don't know because I heard that he did that only after Roddy Rich. I don't know, so I'm going to speculate. I'm not going to say he did it first or second, but I don't give a shit. Guess what? Somebody need to pay for my kid's funeral is not going to bring my kid back. That is not the olive branch I want extended to me. So even if he did it first or second, I don't care. It's you're a day late and a dollar short. You should have thought about that. You should have taken the necessary measures before the tragedy happened. Now you're going to offer to pay, so you're going to pay a few thousand dollars and go to the next city, do the same bullshit, and have an after party. I don't think I could have lived with that very well. You know?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a rough week.
It has been. But on a lighter note, this day in history, today, November 10th, Sesame Street debuts. And I know you guys have heard of Sesame Street.
what was that?
Right. So on November 10th, 1969, Sesame Street, a pioneering TV show that would teach generations of young children the alphabet and how to count, makes its debut. Sesame Street with its memorable theme song, Can You Tell Me How to Get to Sesame Street, went on to become the most widely viewed children's program in the world. It has aired in more than 120 countries. So, shout out to Sesame Street for this day in history, making its debut. And I'm happy to say Sesame Street is still going strong.
I wondered where it was. I wanted to get there, and then I found out it wasn't real. I'm sad. I think everybody really wanted to get Sesame Street, man.
I think we all were a little upset on that one. I can't lie, I was looking for Sesame Street too.
See, they don't teach the same way. You know, all the shows we had, not the same. Damn shame.
And you know what's crazy?
What?
Morgan Freeman. He looks the same age now that he looked then. He looked old as hell then. Yeah, he is old as hell.
Right.
And he still looked the same.
Yeah, he wasn't on Sesame Street. He was on the Electric
Company.
Oh, he was Electric Company. Okay, my bad.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. He was 100 and a half back then, and now he's like 317. But he was.
Well, he's a phenomenal actor either way. The other day I got to watch Shawshank Redemption, and it is such a phenomenal So if you guys get a chance to watch Shawshank Redemption, I recommend it definitely without a doubt. I forgot how good that film is.
I've watched that show about 15 times.
It's long, but it's good. Did you guys know that the part that he played was written for a white Irish man, which is why his name was Red?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he actually, it's kind of hard to imagine him trying to sell himself on anything, but I guess he somehow sold the director, or maybe his agent did, I don't know. But just as kind of a little hidden Easter egg, he kept the name Red. And then they kind of made that little comment in there about saying, maybe they asked him why they call you Red. He said something about, I guess I'm Irish or something like that. But that was kind of how that went about, because Red was supposed to be like a white Irishman with red hair. But, you know, I can't even imagine that being anybody but Morgan now.
Right. He killed it. He killed that role.
Yeah. But he does that with everything. So.
Yeah, but that's what movies do, you know. Movies transcend you. When you have an exceptional actor like your Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks is another one, they become Leonardo DiCaprio. They become their roles, you know, right. And you can't see anyone else portraying that character except them. Now, that is the element of a fabulous film. Which we have a list of fabulous films opening this week. We have Belfast, which is a personal story of one boy's childhood during the turmoils of the late 1960s. It stars, my contacts are blurring on me. It stars Dame Judi Dench, Jamie Dornan, Kenneth Branagh, and Catriona Balfe. And I got to tell you, it's an all-star cast, and they did a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous job. It's a good film, got everything. It's endearing. Kenneth Branagh is just, you know, anything he does is amazing. And it's really cool to see Catriona Balfe, because she's like on one of my favorite shows, Outlander, which actually is my favorite show. Which is Outlander, which comes on the Starz Network, and she plays, of course, Claire Frazier. We won't get into that. But anyway. And then Dame Judi Dench, of course, is a legend. Kenneth Branagh, of course, also a legend. And it's a good film. So if you guys get a chance to see that one, definitely check out Belfast. Another one opening is Love is Love is Love. It tells three stories that explore love, commitment, and loyalty between couples and friends. So in the film's first story, Two for Dinner, a married couple, Joanne Wally and Chris Messina, find an unconventional way to transcend long distance through technology. So if you want to see what the other stories comprise of, definitely check out Love is Love is Love. Also, Apex opens, serving a life sentence for a crime he didn't commit. Ex-cop James Malone is offered a chance at freedom if he can survive a deadly game of Apex. Six hunters pay for the pleasure of hunting another human on a remote island. But once Malone arrives, all hell breaks loose. Find out what happens. Definitely check out Apex. It's full of action, adventure. Also, time for a little bit of a love story, but not much. You know, they always find time for sex in these films. However, it is a good film. So if you like action and it's a thriller, because you don't know what's going to happen, but the ending is a twist, so be prepared. So check out Apex. Also, Double Walker. A little girl is found dead on Christmas Day in a small Midwestern town. The same night, a mysterious young woman moves to town, who is revealed to be none other than the ghost of the little girl, determined to piece together the vague memories of her own demise. Now, this one is different. It's very unique. It's very original. And I think it's kind of filmed as a horror story. And I guess in many ways it is, but it's really interesting. And also the ending on this one, there's a twist. So look forward to that. Home Sweet Home Alone, a couple tried to steal back a valuable heirloom from a troublesome kid. Now this one is definitely a comedy. So if you learn a laugh and learn some lessons along the way, check out Home Sweet Home Alone. Julia is in limited release in theaters, and this is about the life of famed culinary expert Julia Child. So if you love cooking, you love food, and you want to learn more about Julia Child, definitely check out Julia. Mayor Pete, another good documentary that is on Prime Video, and it is about the life of Pete Buttigieg. So if you ever wanted to learn more about Pete Buttigieg, here's your chance. Check out Mayor Pete. Also opening Fridays, also in limited release, we have Multiverse. Colleagues Loretta, Danny, Amy, and Jerry are on the verge of an amazing breakthrough in quantum physics when tragedy strikes. So if you want to know what the tragedy is, check it out. It's not what you think, but then again, it could be what you think, depending on what you're thinking. But again, with this one, the ending, another twist. So look forward to that. This next one is very different. Very fresh, very new. This is called Night Raiders. It opens in limited release. It's set in 2043 in a dystopian future. A military occupation controls disenfranchised cities in post-war North America. Children are considered property of the regime, which trains them to fight. A desperate Cree woman joins an underground band of vigilantes to infiltrate a state children's academy and get her daughter back. Now this one is full on action, 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 thrill, thrill, thrill. Does she get her daughter back? I'll let you find that out. But if you like action, you like a thriller, and you love a good story, definitely check out Night Raiders. Also opening is Red Notice. Also opening is Soulmates. Stratton Castle, tell of Jesse Golden, Heart, and The Accursed. So if you like horror films, The Accursed is definitely for you. Tick Tick Boom is another one. This is a Netflix film. But it is, well, it's also on Netflix, but it's also in limited release in theaters. And without further ado, one film that has been long awaited is Clifford the Big Red Dog. Now, Clifford is an old family favorite. I know that I've watched Clifford for many years. My kids watch Clifford. So when middle schooler Emily Elizabeth, played by Darby Camp, meets a magical animal rescuer, John Cleese, who gifts her a little red puppy, she never anticipated waking up to find a giant 10-foot hound in her small New York City apartment. So if you love Clifford the Big Red Dog and you've seen the animated show on PBS, then you're going to love this live action of Clifford the Big Red Dog. The special effects are really cool. They don't look cheesy. So without further ado, I do have a clip of Clifford the Big Red Dog. Here we go.
Clifford, no fetch! Clifford!
You may not believe, but there is magic all around us.
sometimes it can be hard to find.
Did you bring your garbage to school?
But sometimes, the magic finds us.
Look at you. Don't go, Casey. Oh, cute.
I'm so red.
How big is he going to get?
That depends, doesn't it?
On what?
On how much you love him.
I wish big and strong in the world could hurt. Uncle Casey!
Oh, no, we're going to be late for school.
About the dog? Clifford, get this boy and drop it. Ew, what's the... Bring a
friend, join the crowd.
Shouldn't we try to hide him or something?
It's yours. No one will even notice. He's the... He's a big... Whew.
Why don't we get you on the scale here, bud?
I'm just gonna write heavy.
What if you found someone who made you feel like you could do anything? Clifford, no, no fetch! Oh, no.
No, 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 that doggy!
This dog is killing me.
Well, you don't see that every day.
Maybe it's time to feed him.
All right. That was Clifford the Big Red Dog, and Clifford starts in theaters not this weekend, but the 17th, which actually, you know what? It has been pushed up, so Clifford actually does start this week. So Clifford will air on Friday. So also, I have one more to tell you guys about, but we will, and I will do that after these messages. So we'll be right back for station identification. See you in a bit. All right, if you're listening to CB and the Boys, thank you for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivator. I bring you music, conversation, motivation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So you can also catch our playback on iHeartRadio as well as Apple Podcasts. And you can see us live on YouTube as well as Facebook. So please go to all of those platforms, like us, and subscribe. The more you like us and subscribe, the more we can do more and bring you more. And bring your love and support means the world to us. So thank you, and back to the show. All right, so the next film, which is on Netflix, this is called Passing. It stars Tessa Thompson, where she plays a woman of color who reconnects with a friend after some time. But it's crazy. It's set in the 1920s New York City, and a black woman finds her world upended when her life becomes intertwined with a former childhood friend who's passing as white. So here is a clip from Passing.
Pardon me, I don't mean to stare, but I think I know you. Claire?
I'm trying to find out the history of the blonde you brought along.
She's a girl from Chicago I used to know.
Princess from Chicago.
Things aren't always what they seem.
Bobby Dan. Lots of people pass all the time.
It's easy for a Negro to pass for white. I'm not sure it would be so simple for a white person to pass for color. So you haven't ever thought to?
What?
You have a fine
Hey, why should I? Now I have everything I've ever wanted.
This is my husband, John Bellew.
Does he
know? So you dislike me, bro, Mr. Bellew?
No, not at all. I hate them.
She extraordinarily beautiful.
I suppose.
Your life. Perfect.
Have you ever thought of what you'd do if John found out?
I'd do what I want more than anything right now.
I'd come up here to live. With you.
You think they'd be satisfied being what?
Who's satisfied being anything?
For all of us passing for something or other. Aren't we?
All right, so that is Passing. It's on Netflix, and it does start on November the 10th, starring Tessa Thompson, and it's a film by Rebecca Hall, and it's a very, 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 very good film, and it's very interesting because a lot of people, from what I'm seeing, and I did my research on people passing, it's not as uncommon as you would think. As a matter of fact, one very high profile instance of someone passing would be Rachel Dolezal, the white woman who posed as a black person, and now she's being faced with welfare fraud, but she's been faced with quite a few things. She's been a very bad girl. She's a former NAACP official, Rachel Dolezal, a white woman who posed as African-American for years. She's now facing charges of welfare fraud after investigators say she illegally received thousands of dollars in public assistance. Dolezal, who legally changed her name to Nkechi Diallo in 2016, is accused of stealing $8,847 in food and child care assistance, dating back to August of 2015. According to court documents obtained by KHQ-TV, she is charged as Nkechi Diallo, also known as Rachel A. Dolezal, with first-degree theft by welfare fraud, second-degree perjury, and false verification for public assistance. Local reporters who went to her Spokane home seeking comment said she declined to say anything and closed the door. The investigation into Dolezal began in March of last year when an investigator from the Washington Department of Social and Health Services learned she had written a book that had been published. The investigator did further research into the book's publisher and discovered a typical contract would include payments of $10,000 to $20,000 as advances against later royalties, according to the document. At this time, Dolezal had been reporting a monthly income of less than $500, which came from child support payments. She resigned from the NAACP in June of 2015 when her parents revealed she was actually white, and claimed that since then she had been unemployed and unable to find work, the spokesman review reported. When asked how she was paying her living expenses, she was quoted in the document saying, barely, with help from friends and gifts. But a review of Dolezal's self-employment records, which included bank statements, revealed a less dire situation. In total, between August 2015 and September 2017, Dolezal's bank statements showed she had deposited nearly $84,000. Documents showed investigators believed the money came from her book, speaking engagements, and selling art, soaps, and handmade dolls. In 2017, Dolezal reported a change of circumstance, citing a one-time job for speaking and voiceovers she did in October and earned her $20,000, according to documents. Documents show Dolezal was made aware that she would be criminally prosecuted if she willfully made a false statement or failed to report things. So what do you guys think of that? Like, this is a white woman that passed for being black and was very high in the NAACP. So my question is, how does something like that happen?
Probably the same way, to some degree, it happened in the past. I mean, it's so many people that claim different nationalities and make things up. And again, I mean, obviously, if she had severely sharp Anglican features, that would be one thing. But, you know, something as simple as a tan, some kind of an enhancement augmentation from a doctor can change, you know, your appearance enough. And if you learn to walk the walk and talk the talk, not that difficult. So I think it's interesting, like, looking at the preview to the movie Passing, how way back when, you know, very, very light-skinned black people had to kind of do that to just make it or to get ahead or try to get some equal treatment. I think we've mentioned it before on the show, but one of the most famous cases of passing was Clark Gable. It's still a lot of people that refuse to believe Clark Gable was black. You can't tell them that. These old folks, they'll fall apart. He was. But when you think about him kissing Vivian Leigh and people like that, you know, people lose their mind. So, and that happened more often than not. And I understand you had to do what you had to do because, you know, major roles and things like that in the acting industry were closed to black people unless you were playing a butler, slave, you know, bellhop, you know, mammy, some shit like that. So I think it's just a case of reverse. This woman did what she thought she had to do to get a particular position and, you know, get money and all that. Was it right? No. Obviously, she defrauded the system and things like that. But it's almost like when you hear about a man really federlining a woman, how Federline did Britney. It's kind of like when you hear about it, you go, whoa, that doesn't happen very often. So when it does, it still catches you by surprise because it's normally the other way around. So I just think it's just kind of one of those she took advantage of a situation that normally happens in reverse. But, you know, am I glad she got caught? Sure. Don't pretend, but it happens all the time. So I don't know. I think if more people do, look at Ariana Grande. In a lot of ways, she's doing the same thing. I think the young lady can sing for what that's worth, but she's absolutely doing that.
She's white. She tans just so she can look the way she does. You know, it's not taken away from her talent or anything like that, but she needs to be who she is and not pretending. Her name is not Ariana Grande. It's Ariana Grande. She's Italian. And she's white. She's not Latina. She's not half black. She's white, plain and simple. If you go back to videos of her early on, you know, when she was on Nickelodeon and stuff, you could see that she's white.
And if you embrace the issue I have is even with something like that, if you give credit to the group, you know, that let's just say you're borrowing or learning from, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with people like her and, you know, we spoke about the Kardashians earlier, Madonna, a lot of people historically that have straight up plagiarized other cultures and not given credit. This is where the problem comes from. You take credit for something you didn't create, invent, or even perfect, and rather than being like, hey, guys, I used to hang out here in the summertime or there and when I went to visit my parents, and this is where I got that. They don't want to do that. They want to, you know, and I guess, you know, business is business. Look at all the inventions out there. You really think the people that get credit for them always were the inventors or the actual creators? Not at all. So it's the same thing, but I just think she's really probably the biggest name that's kind of doing it right now, deliberately over-tanning, you know, accentuating certain features, whether it be with makeup or prosthetics or extensions or additions. And I think, like you were saying, you know, it doesn't matter if she's Italian, French, I don't give a shit. Give credit where that came from, and people will probably be a little more accepting and a lot less pissed off. So that's where the whole, I think that's where it's the kind of reverse of passing. Or no, it's still passing. It's just you're trying to pass from one thing to another, but you're right. I think about how my kids used to watch whatever that show was on Nickelodeon when she was younger, and she, you know, played the dizzy little funny girl or whatever, and now all of a sudden she's singing and she's like my complexion and shit. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
And again,
exactly.
She's talented. But, you know, give credit. Give credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not taking away from her talent, but it's just, you know, calling her out because that is wrong. Another one is Ollie London, who is originally from Great Britain, but he is definitely doing cultural appropriation because he is in Korea, and now he's had all these surgeries done. And what people don't realize is that if you go to a foreign country like Korea, you can get plastic surgery done for free. They'll do it for free.
Really?
On foreigners, yes. So he had all this plastic surgery done. He considers himself Korean now, yet he's from Great Britain, which makes no sense. And he married a cardboard cutout of Jimin from BTS. He claims that he's in love with Jimin and that he thinks he is Jimin, which he looks nothing like Jimin. Even after all of that, these plastic surgeries, he looks nothing like Jimin. He's not talented. Not one iota is he talented. And he had all this surgery, so he identifies now as transracial.
Well, nice. I was going to say, where does the identify come in? I was going to ask.
he considers himself transracial. What's funny, he was on a Korean talk show, and he walked in talking Korean, but the Korean host did not know what the hell he was saying. It was the most hilarious thing.
No, embarrassing. Wow.
Yeah, because she's looking like, what's he saying? This was crazy.
Buenos tacos.
Yeah, so, wow. I mean, he's an embarrassment, and it's just, you know, people still give him the time of day, which is what he wants, is the attention. And he's just, he's nuts, you know, and very untalented. And it was just, you know, it's crazy. But you see things like that, you know, clout chasers is what they call them, you know, and then just people crazy that they just want attention, so they're willing to do any and whatever. Like some of these girls on TikTok, they show themselves tanning and tanning to be dark, like really dark. And you look at them like, they look like burnt bananas. It's crazy. I'm like, why would you do that to yourself? It just, it makes no sense. Or you see white girls in braids and things like that, and you see just the cultural inappropriation. I mean, the cultural appropriation is just,
but
it's real, you know?
The standard, what's considered the standard of beauty, it changes to some degree, but it doesn't. Think about it. Everybody has a tendency to admire maybe what they can't recognize or relate to, or, you know, what's not natural or native to them. So in some people's case, being a darker shade, having a little more melanin, that's beauty because maybe they don't like their pale skin. But just like in some cultures, straightening their hair is seen as a sign of beauty because by nature their hair isn't straight. In some cultures, piercings, makeup, facelifts, high cheekbones, slanted eyes, it goes on and on and on. I think the sad part is, if people could acknowledge that they find beauty in other cultures, it wouldn't be as big of a deal when people did say, you know what, I like that a lot, I'm going to emulate it. I don't think people would be so mad. I think there was always going to be someone who gets upset and offended because they go, hey, you know, we can't have anything, nothing is sacred. So, again, you're never going to have universal appeal. But think about it. Think about, have you ever heard about when people get, say, you know, Asian tattoos, Japanese letters, Chinese letters, whatever, and they're not of that culture. And they say, well, why would you do that? They don't like you. Don't get, you know, X, Y, Z. My question is, why isn't someone free to get whatever? If I wanted to get a Russian word on me, it doesn't matter if Russians hate me, because guess what? Everyone has stolen something from every culture. Who the hell you think invented hip-hop? Who you think invented B-boy? Who you think invented all that? They didn't. They may have taken it to a different level. They didn't invent it, though. That shit came from Harlem. It came from the Bronx. But guess what? Do you get mad when you see an Asian kid wearing a Kango? Do you get mad at the Jabberwockies? You do not. So my thought is, why do you care whose alphabet is tattooed on someone else's body? I think, and again, we're splitting the same hairs. It's really more about universal acceptance, but I also feel like just giving credit to where you got it from would go a long way. And most people don't do that because people are so desperate to get, you know, some kind of an accolade or validation or public acknowledgement that, and I think that is where a lot of the problem comes in, like just not giving credit where credit is due. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's why the black TikTokers are on strike, because, you know, the white TikTokers are taking credit for their dances. Like, you have your Addison Rae's, your Charlie D'Amelio, who have their own reality shows based off of the dances and stuff they did on TikTok that they didn't create. They took it from a black TikToker, from the black creators, and never gave them credit at all.
So the issue, in my opinion, the issue is if the black TikTokers will just say, if they can't, A, prove it legally, B, copyright or patent something before they release it, who's the fool? It's no different than the light bulb, the cotton gin, Jack Daniels. It's not about being fair, because life isn't fair, people. But if I create something that I really, really think has the potential to go far, why would I not protect my creation, my child? And so, unfortunately, bragging rights oftentimes supersedes common sense or business sense, for that matter, where one should protect one's creation, invention, or whatever, even if it's not tangible, if you will. It doesn't have to be, you know, a machine or whatever. You have to protect what's yours. We don't do that. So, yeah, someone can come in, backdoor you, literally and figuratively, and steal it, and now guess what? They've got a reality show, they're making money, and you're pissed. Lesson learned. Don't do it again. Sometimes people should just shut the hell up until their business is handled, and then, you release something, unleash something on the world when you're ready and protected. So this is a very valuable lesson. Now, guess what? Guess what the world doesn't give a shit about? Not to be mean, people. The world really doesn't give a shit if black TikTok is on strike. Sorry, not sorry. You're going to go on strike? What you going to do? You're going to go somewhere else? You're going to go back to IG? You're going to create your own platform? That's what Michael Bazin did. He created his whole platform. He got tired of Instagram and Facebook censoring him. He created his own platform. He's got the money and the clout, but the point that I'm making is talk is cheap. So you're going to boycott? You're going to resist? And what? When you come back, as they say, from your self-imposed isolation and all that, it's not going to change anything. So we have to learn how to protect ourselves and what we do if we ever hope to. You have to force people to give you credit sometimes. It's not about asking. You can beg all you want. That shit doesn't work. Sometimes you have to grab somebody by the throat and go, guess what? I did this. This is mine. You're going to acknowledge it or we're going to have a problem. And so I think this is a very, very valuable lesson. Not saying it's right what happened. Just saying this kind of thing will continue to happen as long as the necessary steps to protect that don't occur. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is.
It's unfortunate. It is.
But we got a few minutes later, and just real quickly, I hope you guys don't mind. I know I mentioned it last week. I would like to just kind of my good deed for the week. I'd like to talk to my people a little bit about kind of finance and things like that. I was speaking with my younger cousin today, who happens to be a financial advisor, and we were kind of having a laugh, a story about me getting kind of starting opening an account with yet another bank, a bank here. I won't say their name, but the initials are the same as a particular type of snake. You guys will figure it out. Not a fan. All that to say, people, we have to learn how to make and take care of our money because, you know, unfortunately, we get taken advantage of. And by we, I don't mean black, white, old, or young. I mean people that come up and don't have the knowledge and the background and the training until late in the game. So making it a point to self-educate and things like that is a big deal. And you know, my free advice to everybody is figure out how to get more than one or two or even three streams of income for one, for two, how to grow your money. And that's something that's an ever-going process. Just looking in the news and everywhere else, I've been seeing it over and over and over again. Everywhere you look, people are literally giving away kind of the secrets to some degree of how to really like pop out of your tax bracket into the next one. And point blank, it really just boils down to investments, whether that be real estate. Obviously, everybody knows the world's going digital, so cryptocurrency is king right now. Obviously, stocks and bonds is always going to be eternally an option. But, you know, education is the key. There's so much free information out there. You don't have to take a real estate class or a trading class or a brokering class or anything like that. It doesn't help yet. But there's so much free info out there. You can literally just open your browser and go on and on and on. But, you know, I'm saying all that to say, you know, there's a change on the horizon. I mean, there's a huge recession being predicted. There's major inflation being predicted. We really don't know what's going to happen. Look at last year. Look at this year. Who the hell knows about next year? So my thing is, I'm just telling people to be prepared, be proactive more than anything, because here's the real truth of it. The vast majority of the country, I won't even speak about the world, this country, the vast majority, that means anywhere that over 75% or more, A, do not have what's considered necessary to survive in a crisis situation, and that is 6 months' worth of rent or mortgage saved up, insurance or coverage for a major surgery or catastrophe, and there are other, you know, items. I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad. I'm just saying that to go, most of us were not brought up to think like that. You work and work and work. You save and save and save. And every one of us is one hospital visit, one car accident, one bad investment, one family loan away from being broke. Most people are two rent or mortgage payments away from being homeless. I mean, like, it goes on and on and on, and that's the way the country has us set up. So, like, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, if there's anything anybody kind of wants to throw out there or kind of ask a question on, like I said, you know, guys, we're here. We're kind of available right now. But I'm just saying, if you're uncomfortable, ask. Read, research. Look, y'all will look on TikTok all day long for dumbass challenges, who's doing what, gossiping, who's living. And here's the thing. The people that you're watching are probably getting paid off of that, and hopefully they're doing something about it. But for those of us that are walking around all day doing this, you know, you need to put that down for a second and research how to make money. Because here's the thing. If you're not generating income while you sleep, you're not affluent, you're not financially free, and you're not ready to retire or go off the grid. I don't care what your job pays you, how much you make a year, whatever, but I bet if your ass doesn't go into work for 2 weeks, you don't have that money, you know? So, again, you know, I'll throw it out there, investments. Cryptocurrency is the easiest way to jump several levels and potentially get rich, the easiest way. Obviously, investment properties and things like that, if done correctly, probably the old tried and true. Property never loses value. After that, like I said, of course, stocks kind of falls into the investments with the earlier aforementioned crypto and things like that. But even investing in a startup company, if you study it, and you know, there's some legitimate backing behind it, a good way to make money. You can put 200 or 1,000 into a startup company and definitely compound that 10 to 20 fold and keep going. So, you know, I'm talking to everybody. When I say my people, that means everybody, old, young, black, white, tan. I'm talking to my people out there. Figure it out, guys, because the government ain't going to keep saving you. You know, Papa Joe ain't going to keep sending out stimulus checks and shit like that. Like, stop waiting on somebody to feed you, because I think that's the thing. The minute you hear people bitching because, oh, they cut off the extra 600, they took away the last stimulus. If that's what you're waiting on, then like I said, you're nothing more than somebody waiting on, you know, a slave master to come back and feed you before he beats you. So, you know, I'm challenging everybody to level up a little bit next week and then the week after that. And like I said, if you guys got questions or just want some suggestions, I don't proclaim to know everything by any stretch, but you know, what I do know and what you know, what things have worked for me, I'm more than willing to share, because, you know, ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. So, you know, at any given point, let's talk about it, whatever week and things like that. I don't know if you guys have anything to add, but I just really felt like sharing that with everybody this week. It's just, you know, it's kind of a level up week, but in my opinion, it always is. Dish money. Yeah. That's what he's doing. So I ask a lot of people, you know how people say, if somebody dropped a bag of money on me, I got a buddy that loves to say that. If somebody gave me a big bag of money, I would do X, Y, and Z. What's funny is I think the first thing people are supposed to say, technically, is if you come into a lot of money, be that inheritance, trust, you know, I hate to say lottery, because unfortunately the lottery is the broke man's retirement fund. Like, that's our 401k when we're out there. For those of us that are like, I don't care about that, I make my own luck, it's one thing. But for those of us who are in the world going, man, I got to hit those numbers. Sadly, the lottery is definitely a lot of people in this country's 401k. And then you hear about, like, older people they've hit. But you have no idea how much of their income, how much of their weekly and monthly they use to play those numbers and scratch outs and et cetera. And so we all like the idea of I'm going to win 100 million, 200 million, but odds are bad, and I can only imagine how much. I mean, you might as well come back to Vegas and throw it down to the slot. But the key is, if you really don't know what you're doing, and again, there's nothing wrong with that shit. Most of us didn't go to school and study finance. Get a financial advisor, but get one that you can trust. Everybody doesn't have one in their family, or everyone doesn't have the knowledge or know-how, but get an FA, because that's why so many entertainers, young athletes, people that come into money really quickly and suddenly, it's gone. You know, you hear about people hit the 80 million, hit 400 million, 5 years later, no. 90% of lottery winners are in more debt 5 years after they win than before they went in. Imagine that. And we're going from where we are right now. We think right now how we would tear the world up, how the show would just, we would be all over the place doing all kind of good deeds. But think about how many people really walk into 10 million, 20 million, not 5 years later. Not only are they broke, but they are in more debt and have and owe more people and in worse situation than before. I can't imagine that, but I'm very, very thankful to have had people around me that have said, look, this is where you should probably go with that. This is what you need to do. Like I said, you just don't know what to do. If you've never had it, you don't know what to do with it. You don't. That's any kind of power, whether it be financial power, physical power, I don't know, you know, a position somewhere. You don't know what to do with it if you've not been trained properly. So I'm just, you know, I'm asking everybody out there, learn a new piece of that. You know, figure out one small piece of this financial puzzle. Because I think a lot of people are going to get rich this year, and a lot of people are going to get left behind, and I'm kind of afraid of what's going to happen when everything turns up, you know. with real estate and stuff like that. Shit, I'm trying to be debt free after this year. You know, I ain't trying to hit the donut check traps no more, George. But you know, if I gotta do it, man, you know, I break out the bow tie and unretire my pimp hand. I'm just saying.
Right.
That's horrible.
On another note, it's worth looking into.
It's so much new stuff. It's hard to keep up. It is.
On another note, I had something I kind of wanted to share. I hooked up our little footage from our little road trip, and I thought I would share that with everybody. Y'all want to take a look? See? Here we go.
Yeah. Let's do it. Good start to it. So yeah, we'll definitely have more coming definitely in the near future. And again, we've got the cruise coming next year and, you know, the festival and things like that. So we've definitely got some stuff cooking up for you guys. And, you know, more little snippets in between. So definitely stay tuned. And we're going to work on some of our pacing ourselves in certain situations. I'm glad George didn't show some of the other drinks that we had, especially at Vegas. Lord, the Mimi's birthday drink. Yeah, it'll be another 20 years before I do that shit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we got to take care of our people.
Definitely
it's a lot of fun. Definitely more to come.
Definitely.
As a matter of fact, I'll do my best to get some good stuff here this weekend, just because I know they're going to be, you know, people from back home all over the place here. So hopefully there will be some good reason for celebration, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to provide. But there'll be some gatherings. I think they're going to do, you know, skating party, KC Takeover, a couple of different environments. So I'll definitely do my best to, you know, if I can at least throw out a stream or two, get some more footage, and then George can definitely do the honors of sharing after this week when we win. So be on the lookout for that from your boy, and we'll hopefully have some more fun stuff. Crybaby Coco, thanks for checking in and commenting. Hopefully we'll have more for you to see and enjoy. Yeah. Why you a crybaby anyway? Talk to me about it. Were you that one kid who always told on everybody? Are you the youngest in the group? See, I got questions, Coco. Come on, don't just take off now. You a crybaby, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those kids. Now I'm just starting shit. And that's fine. I'm cool with that. Right. Don't run. See, George antagonizing people with shit.
No, it's like we have.
It's my fault. Very good.
8 minutes.
Yeah, 8 minutes left in this room.
Time flies. Time truly flies.
I feel like we need the Sesame Street song. George, you should find that. You should play Sesame Street. I mean, listen, we definitely had worse.
Ha ha ha.
I
can totally play that if you're missing it, Raj.
Or we cannot say we did, and, you know, we'll hum along later, but no.
But
not missing it at all, like
that?
A Tuesday.
Like, where's the fun in that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no fun in that. So here we go. It sounds like you guys are off tonight, and you miss it. So here we go.
I'll be signing off soon.
I'm a man.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. That was the song. Oh, yeah. All right. I know we all know the Sesame Street song. That is the song.
That's my song.
All right, guys. It's been real. It's been fun. But unfortunately, our time is done. So in 2 minutes or less, say goodbye.
Appreciate everybody listening. Come hang with us next week. We'll do it all over again. A little bit more gooder even. So, take care of yourself. Take care of each other.
We love you. Thanks for coming out. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Everybody, thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation. So hopefully you got motivated. Hopefully you got inspired. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. You can catch our playback on iHeartRadio as well as Blog Talk Radio and Apple Podcasts. So definitely look forward to that. You can go to all of our platforms, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and Facebook, and like us and subscribe. So we'll be back next week where we will have a guest, Ms. Sky Wagner, who is a women's empowerment speaker, and she does great things in the community. So you're going to really enjoy listening to her. She's going to talk about finance, empowerment, the whole nine yards. She's going to span the gamut. It's going to be great. So definitely look forward to that. And as always, remember, you can be and do anything you want in this life as long as you believe in yourself. We believe in you. Now you have to believe in you. And remember, above all things, love yourself. Remember, true love starts with loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else or expect someone else to love you if you don't love yourself? And always don't be afraid to take that first step. Remember, every great journey starts with taking that first step. Don't ever be afraid, because if you don't take the first step, you never know what wonderful things await you just around the bend. So always take the first step. Don't be afraid. Love yourself. And believe in yourself. And we will be back next week for more CB and the Boys. So to take us home tonight is, of course, my favorite group. And I know they're your favorite groups as well. We've got BTS, of course. And to take us home, I'm feeling a little You Are My Universe. So here's BTS with Coldplay and Universe. And also, I wanted to mention that on Clifford the Big Red Dog, if you heard the song Dynamite playing, it is also part of the soundtrack. So shout out to BTS for landing another movie soundtrack. You know, they, Jimin of BTS and V are in the movie Eternals with their song Friends. So shout out to BTS, my favorite group. You guys deserve it all. So here's BTS and Coldplay, and You Are My Universe to take us home. And you guys are our universe. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
I lie and look up at you. When the morning comes, I watch you rise. It's a paradise that couldn't capture that bright infinity inside your eyes.
매일 밤 내게 날아가 이런 것도 믿은 채 나 웃으며 너를 만나. Never ending forever, baby.